Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm only going to look at one verse for time's sake. And I know we don't get to have the children up on most Sundays, and we're glad that they're here. But I also remember when I was little. Believe it or not, I was little one time. Yeah. So you pray that God will use us, the Lord will anoint us by His Spirit, and that God will just have me share what He's laid on my heart for us here this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I know if you've been in church for any time at all, you know that Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It's no coincidence to me at all that Kevin mentioned faith earlier in the service as we opened up the service. In this chapter, we find that faith is defined. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not only is faith defined, but faith is demonstrated. We see the demonstration in the first part of this chapter, because if you go home today and read that, you'll find that the first part of the chapter is where most generally, preachers focus when they preach, or teachers when they teach on the faith chapter, because the first part deals with how faith was demonstrated through accomplishments. It talked about impossible situations that God used certain people to see things accomplished because of their faith. And that becomes, if you will, a mile marker in our life to show us that if we have faith as well, then we'll see faith demonstrated in various aspects of our life through the accomplishments that take place. We know that Abel worshiped by faith because he offered a more excellent sacrifice. We know that he received the witness by faith because he offered that sacrifice. There was the witness that he had righteousness or was made righteous because of that. We know Enoch walked by faith because he was translated by faith. Enoch walked with God every day, and one day God said, Enoch, why don't you come on over to my house and spend the day? And the Lord said, if you'll come, said, everything's ready. And Enoch was raptured up with the Lord. And he's never been back to this earth since, because there's never a night in the city, so if he goes for a day, he's still there. Thank God. And he's still rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. So we walk by faith. Noah worked by faith. He prepared an ark by faith. His ministry was a work that touched not only the local ministry that he had. He prepared the ark for the saving of his family. But the local ministry became a global ministry, because through the attempt to save his family, the whole world was saved. Had it not been for Noah operating by faith, you and I wouldn't be here today. You know, the ministry of our church is not only a local ministry, but it should be a global ministry. Isn't it something how God could take a little town where that we don't even have a stop sign or a red light on the main route in this little town that we're in? The only thing they're in, they're not even a major crossroad in this town. One main street highway goes through this town. But yet out of this place, the word of God has been spread around the world, because a local ministry has become a global ministry. If you take care of things locally, God will help you to get the message out to others as well. Not only will our family be saved, but we'll have the opportunity to see others saved as well. Abraham, the Bible said, went out by faith, for he looked for a city that had a builder, whose builder and maker was God. The foundations were not made by hands, the writer said, and he went out by faith looking for that city. I haven't seen it yet, but bless his holy name. One day faith will become reality. I'm on a journey, but heaven is in sight, and soon we'll have the privilege to be there as well. There was faith according to this before the flood. There was faith after the flood. There was faith before Christ. There was faith after Christ. In fact, he said without faith, it's impossible to please God. He didn't say it's hard to please God. He said it's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot be saved until you come by faith and say, I believe that there was a man that was born of a virgin, the only begotten of the Father, that walked on this earth for 33 and a half years and lived a sinless life and died a death on Calvary's cross and gave his blood the ransom for many, was buried in a tomb and rose again, and that he's alive today and alive forevermore. If you don't have faith to believe that, you can't be saved. There was men that had faith in this chapter. There were women that had faith in this chapter. The first part of the chapter is dedicated to the accomplishment of faith. I'm not here to talk about my accomplishments. I'm here to talk about the accomplishments of not only those that operated by faith, but you're in a church that accomplishes great things by faith. Do you know that you're sitting among people that are people of faith? Now, their names is not recorded in Hebrews 11, but God keeps a record on high, and I'm telling you, they accomplish a lot by faith. The things that's been done in this church hasn't been done because of the preacher that I am. God knows that. I'm flesh. I'm weak. But yet the accomplishments that's been done is because you're among people that are people of faith. They have great faith. Today when we go out, we'll go out to a baptizing that I mentioned earlier, that just the other day, by faith, I'm glad that Vince and Mark and Marcia, by faith, bought the property that we'll be going to. If it wasn't for them offering it, we wouldn't have a place to go. By faith, Mark and Vince mowed the field and weeded everything. By faith, Billy Whitaker went in there. And I texted him this week and I said, we need water to baptize in. And Billy said, I'll take care of it. Washed it out. Do you know what he did this morning? Went back in and filled it back in so we'll have a place to be able to baptize today. By faith this week, we've had deaths and we've had funerals, and by faith people have rallied together. I contacted Marty Bussey. I said, Marty, Carol's gone, and Carol does a wonderful job, doesn't she? But Marty stepped up. Ted and Marty's always willing to step up, aren't they? I think you ought to give people roses while they're alive. How many of you have been blessed because of Ted and Marty Bussey? I have. Thank you, Lord, that you sent them across my pathway in life. She didn't ask. She didn't say. I'm in the middle of putting up stuff for garden and stuff that's in. I'm busy canning. Oh, no. She said, what can I do to help? By faith, they did it. By faith, this church has reached out to bless other churches. By faith, you've given your money. By faith, you've given your time. By faith, you come faithfully. I'm telling you, great things have been accomplished because of faith. First part of the book was about accomplishments. The next part of the book was about affliction and faith. Faith in the hour of affliction. We find that those in the latter part of this chapter face all types of affliction. Some of those people were named. Some of them are unnamed. Some of them were delivered. Now, some of you are not going to like this part. Some of them didn't accept deliverance. That's what the book says. Why? Because the deliverance didn't come from God. The deliverance was coming from the enemy. Their life was on the line. And they said, if you denounce Christ, you'll be delivered from this death. But they chose to die believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, saying, I'm ready to offer my life for Him because He gave His life for me. We ought to be willing to say, Lord, whatever the affliction in my life, if you don't deliver me, I still believe you. If you do deliver me, I'll still praise you. Whether I get out of this affliction or not, I'm going to trust you. Sometimes it takes more faith to endure than it does to escape. But then when you get to verse 22, it all changes. Joseph, he doesn't talk about his accomplishments. And it doesn't even talk about his afflictions. Verse 22 is an announcement. Now what's amazing about this is in Genesis, one-fourth of the book of Genesis is about Joseph. In Hebrews, there's one verse. One verse. That's all there is. And it's an announcement. It doesn't say what he accomplished. It doesn't say what he went through with afflictions. It's just an announcement. He said, I'm leaving here. And don't forget my bones. Don't forget my bones. You're getting out of here. Don't forget my bones. That was a prophecy that was given. Now that's amazing that he talks about that in that one verse. What amazes me, he didn't talk about his birth. He had a good heritage. Most of you, if you didn't talk about your family, you wouldn't have anything to talk about because you haven't done anything yourself. Your family did it all. I'm glad Mommy and Daddy were great Christians, but you ought to be a great Christian. I'm glad Grandpa was a preacher, but you ought to be serving God. Help me preach this morning, will you? He didn't talk about his birth, his heritage. He didn't talk about his brothers. I'm telling you, if my brothers treated me like he was treated, I'd talk about those low-down dogs. I'd let everybody know what a scoundrel they were. He didn't talk about his brothers. He didn't talk about his betrayal. I think most folks is betrayed. That's all you'd hear about. It's what they went through and how this one let them down. Some of you to this day, you can't rise to victory because you're hung up on the betrayal of somebody that let you down and somebody that turned their back on you. Hey, look right here. Not one time has Jesus ever turned his back on me, on you, or on anybody else. Let the whole world betray us. Jesus is faithful in all things. Only thing he talked about was his bones. He didn't talk about his problems. Some of you would never have a testimony if you couldn't brag on your problems. Didn't talk about the pit. He didn't talk about Potiphar. He didn't talk about the palace. He didn't talk about the prison. He didn't talk about his past. He didn't talk about his position. Buddy, if I was the second man in command, you'd know it. Hey, if I was running the show around here, you'd know it. Yeah, you'd know it. And by the way, if you were running it, I'd know it too. We brag about our position. People brag on their position, what they've gained and what they've done. Now, you look at an obituary, you know what you usually see? People's positions. And he didn't talk about his position. He didn't talk about his power. They were subject to him. He had authority. He could say all kinds of things. He didn't talk about any of that. He didn't talk about his prosperity. He talked about one thing. He talked about his parting. He said, I'm leaving here, and I want you to make an oath. And you can read about it in the book of Genesis. He said, the oath is, you're going to be visited by God. And when God visits you, I'm getting ready to leave this place. But when you get out of Egypt, don't leave my bones in Egypt. You take my bones with you everywhere you go. Don't bury me in this land. Don't bury me in this place. Don't leave my bones behind. That's all he talked about, was leaving here. You find out it must have done something to him, because when you get to Exodus chapter 13, they said, don't forget the bones. I believe every time they broke camp, somebody said, did you get the bones? There goes the pillar of cloud. By day, somebody get the bones. 40 years they carried those bones through the desert. 40 years they were through dry places. But they never forgot that commandment and that oath that they made. Don't leave the bones behind. Finally, you find out in Joshua 24, they get to the place of Shechem. And they said, here we are. In God's land, in God's place. And there they took those bones. And they buried those bones. They didn't leave him in Egypt. Do you know what he was saying? It really don't matter what I'm going through. I'm going through it to get to it. Amen. The outcome will be worth the ordeal. I don't care what it is I'm going through. What I'm going to get in the end is worth way more than what I'm going through right now. He was surrounded in Egypt. He knew what Egypt was. He was surrounded by sin and seduction. There was temptation. There were treasures. There was the teaching of Egypt. He could have had anything. But he said, I'm not concerned about all of that. He said, I don't want you to think about the adversity that come in my life, because adversity didn't change him. He said, advancement didn't spoil me. I just want you to know one thing. I have an assurance that this place is not my final home. There is another place. I've got that assurance in my 40 years of preaching. I can tell you this, and I'm positive on what I say. When people get to the end of life, I have watched people struggle with their assurance. More than once. Don't drop your head. Not time to pray right now. I'm preaching. You say, well, preacher, I go to church when I feel like it and do what I can. Hey, you need to know that you're saved. I don't know how much longer I'll be on this earth, and you don't know. But I do know one thing. If this is my last sermon that I ever preach, you can be assured of one thing. I am saved to the bone, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil has been cast out, has no place. And all I can say is just like Jesus when he rose from the grave. He said, handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. As you see me have, there's coming a day where you'll put my bones on a hillside somewhere, but I'm not staying here. I'm leaving here. I've got a promise from the Word of God. Don't leave the bones behind. Thank God. Assurance means everything. Those bones spoke of three or four things. First of all, spoke of the power of forgiveness. Now, you may not like what I'm about to tell you, and you may disagree with it. Christians, hear me. Hardest thing that you'll ever do sometimes is forgive. When you get saved, it's easy to dress right and talk right and live right, but it's hard to forgive. Now, here's why I said you won't agree with me. It's harder to forgive than it is quit drugs. Can I prove it to you? I know a lot of people quit drugs, but they can't forgive others. It's harder to forgive than it is quit drinking. Don't shout me down this morning. It is. Do you know why? Because all those other sins, they're visible. They're visible. But when it comes to forgiveness, hatred is in our heart. And nobody can see hatred and bitterness. Only God can see that and dig it out. And I'm telling you, it's hard to forgive. I know people that have held grudges for years and years and years. And they need to seek God for forgiveness. It's hard to forgive those that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you for His name's sake. But rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. But I'm telling you, every time they looked at Joseph's bones, they said, right there, that's a forgiven man. You read the story, how it ended out in his life. He could have done his brothers in, but instead, he chose to forgive them. They not only saw the power of forgiveness, but they saw the patience of Joseph. Man, he went through a lot of things. 13 years they forgot about him. But God didn't forget about him. Hard to go through things 13 days. 13 months, but 13 years to go through it and to live by faith and trust God through all of it. Some of you feel like you're holding on by the very end of the rope. Bless God, tie a knot and hold on. Jesus will be by in a little bit. He hasn't forgotten you. They look and say, He was patient and I should be patient. They saw the promise of a believer. He was a believer. Why did he have faith? Now, all faith is based on this. He heard from God. He heard from God. When he got the Word of God on him, faith was in him. See, he believed it. He went there and he said, hey, I'm leaving here, but you all getting out of here. I heard from God. God said, you're not going to be here. I'm leaving. I'm leaving with you because I want you to take my bones with you when you go. I'll die before you get out. But I promise you, you're getting out. And you know what? They looked at him and said, well, man, he believes that. He believes that so much. I think I'll believe it too. And you cannot have faith until you have the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That doesn't mean you know every verse of Scripture. You may not know, but still it's God's Word. God speaks to you. Some of you, you didn't know a single verse of Scripture. But you know the Holy Ghost spoke clear to you the day that you got saved and said you needed to repent and you needed to believe God and confess your sin. You know what happened. There's no doubt about it. God spoke it and you believe God and you are saved. The promise of a believer. He said, I'm not talking about death. I want to talk to you about deliverance. He said, I don't want to talk to you about living. I want to talk to you about leaving here. He was sincere in what he was saying. Then the last thing, because of those bones, every time they looked at it, he saw a prospect of the future. Now this is something. Joseph could have had a pyramid. Study history. He was second man down. He could have had a pyramid. In fact, of course, guides will tell you anything on a trip to excite you if you ever go overseas. They love to stretch the truth just a little bit. But a lot of guides tell people that there was one pyramid that they had built for Joseph, but it was never used. We know it wasn't used because it would be contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says they embalmed him and put him in a coffin. Does anybody listen to me this morning? Do you know what the word coffin in the Hebrew means? Hope chest. They put his bones in a hope chest. And instead of a pyramid, he said, I don't want a pyramid. I don't want a pyramid. Why? You can't move a pyramid. He said, I'm leaving here. You can't take that pyramid with you. I don't even know how they built those things, let alone to think that they could move that thing with them everywhere they went. He said, I don't want a pyramid, just a box for my bone. I want it to be easy for you to carry my bone, because everywhere you go, take my bones with you. A few days ago, I heard a preacher give a testimony that, boy, you talk about blessing my soul. He preaches a lot of funerals, and he's an older preacher. My heart's drawn to a lot of the older preachers. Don't mean that I don't love younger preachers. Just older preachers are forgot about a lot of time. My heart's drawn to older preachers. In fact, I am one, I think, now. But my heart's always been bent toward older preachers. And this older preacher now anymore, usually if he preaches a service, he's in bed for several days after he preaches it. And he does a lot of funerals. He can make it through that. And he gets calls for funerals. And his family decided with him going out, they were worried about him all the time. So they made him accept as a gift a cell phone. And he didn't know how to use the thing. He didn't know anything about it. But he knew their number and he knew how to call them. Some of you have had that experience, I can tell. Guilty as a dog right now. I can see it. Yeah, he didn't know anything about that. He couldn't believe that. He was amazed by that. So his kids and grandkids all got together and put it all together for him. He said, one day I'm out at the cemetery, and he said, I'm getting ready to have committal. He said, I just start to have the committal. And he said, I didn't know you could silence those things. And he said, nobody ever called me anyway. He said, they told me they gave it to me in case I needed to call them. And he said, I guess you could put something called a ringtone in there. Until each one of them, when they would call, they'd have their own ringtone. He said, but I can't remember what I ate for breakfast, let alone what kind of ringtone each one of them has. Said, but all of a sudden, somebody in the family decides to call me. And he said, I'm standing there with my Bible in hand, getting ready to commit this body. And they put in the ringtone. There ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Well, glory to God. They can plant us on yonder hillside, but there are no graves
to hold us down. We're leaving here. The trumpet will sound and Christ will call us, and out of the grave will come. These bones are going to rise again.